Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Tuesday night call. We're getting everybody on board here. We got Jesse with us. We've got Terry. I got to find the rest of the crew here and get them unmuted, and we'll get started. If anybody has good news and good news only, hit 1 on the keypad on your phone. That will put you in the queue for good news, and we'll take that first, just like we always do. But Jesse, you want to go ahead and do a quick disclaimer and get that out of the way?
Of course. Welcome, everybody. Tonight we're going to have a lot of fun discussing all kinds of legal information and situations and what we have done in the past, what we were going to do in the future. But, of course, none of this should be taken as legal advice because we can't give legal advice. We're not attorneys. We don't pretend to be attorneys. So if you want legal advice, we actually urge, not suggest, we urge that you go find yourself an attorney who's adequate in giving legal advice. So, again, we don't give legal advice. We wouldn't even know how. That's it, Mr. Dave. So you're sore, are you?
Yeah, I'm pretty sore. I had a wrestling match with my car today. That added to it.
I was going to say, you got to quit fighting, man. Yeah.
Yeah. I had to put a cam position sensor in my car to get it past inspection. And when I was at the Cairo the other day, he bounced on me real hard, and I think he may have cracked a rib. And today when I was pulling on the tools doing my work, I think I irritated that because, boy, do I have a sore spot. But anyway, I'll live. I've got some other issues. That I found out my spine looks like a pretzel. And the doctor, the doctor says, you got some severe problems here. And, yeah, that wasn't what I wanted to hear, but I've been dealing with some real severe leg pain for the last couple of weeks, but it's getting better.
Well, you could feel the severe problems.
Oh, boy. It hasn't been happy time for me here in the last couple of weeks, but, you know, I got my car fixed, and we don't let something like this stop us. It slows me down, but it's not going to stop me. So, there.
Well.
Right.
But,
well.
It's Christmas in Georgia today.
What happened?
Terry's got some good news.
Oh, my God. I'm walking around. I can't even believe it. The defendants, and we all know who.
Yeah, plural.
We have a hearing with the judge tomorrow on their refusal to kick force production. And so, in order to try to get it done before the hearing, they had sent me 106 pages of just fluffy paper. And in those 106 pages, there were a few pages that actually did pertain to the alleged accounts, their Bates records. And they were incomplete. They were missing pages. So I objected, and the judge ordered us to have a conference before the hearing and see if we could resolve it. So they said, well, those were just blank pages. You know, each of these documents, page 1 of 3 and 2 and 3 are missing. They're just blank pages, but we'll print those blank pages and send them to you. And I'm thinking, well, that's an oxymoron. Let's see how you do that. And so they did. But when they did, the documents they send, now keep in mind, are supposed to be copies of the originals with the blank pages attached, right? But they're not. They're completely doctored and changed, all four
right.
of them, okay? I mean, it's way obvious. So I object to that. Then the judge had told them they could put in a surreply before the hearing tomorrow. And so now they switched attorneys. And this attorney, this will be his first day on the case, and he sent me an email last night outlining what he said were the outstanding issues, which were completely off the mark. And I answered back. This morning, they sent me the most obviously robo-signed affidavit I have ever seen. The entire affidavit talks about the defendant's debt, the defendant's account. Who's the defendant in this case? Not
well,
me.
I don't know. Yeah, not you, of course.
Yeah. And So obviously the affiant didn't read what he signed. That's pretty obvious. But it's also obvious that the lawyer didn't read it. So I thought, well, all I have to do is sit down and outline everything and make sure I can make the judge understand what I'm looking at because he doesn't have these papers, right? Well, they did me the biggest favor ever. They took all those documents, they put them side by side with each other, put them in as exhibits and the robo-signed affidavit, and put it on the record today with their reply. And they swore, and they swore in their reply that the documents were identical to the originals.
Wow.
You would have to be a blind man not to see it, right, Dave?
Yeah, yeah. It's unbelievable what they did. It's...
I can't wait to have that hearing tomorrow.
Well, yeah, I'm looking forward to the conversation with you after you get done with that.
Oh, my Lord. And it was really funny, Jesse. On one of those accounts, the original document shows a zero balance. Why? Because they claim that it was paid off in full in 2008. When they sent the new documents with the two blank pages, oh, and they really did print blank pages and put them on there. But on the new doc, it shows a balance due of $300.80. Very curious that $300.80 is what they claim is owed on the other account. And that's supposed to be their internal Bates records.
They have no clue what they're doing. But this is indicative, everybody, of what's going on out here. This is no isolated case. This is a very, very large debt buyer that we're talking about here.
It's kind of like what I have maintained. You can't tell a lie. You can't keep a lie going for more than an hour before you start tripping yourself up.
Oh, it's hilarious. It really is. When I read the affidavit and I sent it to Dave, we were both just cracking up, looking through it over the phone, and I'm like, I cannot believe that this attorney would put this in, but it's quite obvious. The guy who signed it didn't read it, and for sure the attorneys didn't read it. But
right.
The interesting part of this is, and I had talked with Terry a little bit on this, is this was just handed off to another law firm. And the previous attorney, I think it's quite obvious, did not even begin to bring the new firm up to speed on what's going on. They're absolutely flying with carpet on the windshield.
Yeah, and he's clueless because he was in court all day. So he didn't even see these documents. His associate did it. So he's not going to know until the hearing tomorrow when I open my mouth.
Nice. No, Terry never opens her mouth.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, thank you. It's Christmas.
That's awesome.
Well, yeah, that is good news.
Well, and on top of that, this is a magistrate judge who just got put on the bench last February. And his background is, his whole career, was spent at a very large law firm in Savannah that specializes in consumer defense. And he's very sharp, and I probably won't even have to open my mouth too much because I would be willing to bet that he's going to take a close look at those documents and he's already going to know.
That would be a good guess.
Wow.
Yeah, with this particular judge, yes.
Yeah. Who's making all the noise in the background? Jesse, is that
you?
So
I'm going to mute myself because I've got my grandkids and my son and my daughter-in-law here, and they're noisy, so I'm going to mute myself.
Well, there you go, Dave. Okay. Answered the question.
Well,
hey, I got some good news to my own.
Go for it.
I chose jump on the skinny kid first.
It's easier.
It's easier that way, right? Yeah.
Yeah, besides that, more reputable than jumping on a poor woman, right?
That's right. The attorney for NationStar filed an amended answer and forgot to attach their certificate as per the rule 310, whatever the heck it is, conferencing certificate. So the judge denied their amended answer. And today she tries to confer with us and say, well, listen, do you guys have a problem if I go ahead? And I says, well, yeah, I have a problem. Now listen here carefully. In there, they put that this was bona fide error. So she drops the bona fide error defense for making, you know, 56 phone calls to my cell phone and mailing me 11 statements around counsel in violation of the FDCPA, TCPA, FDCPA, and says, oh, well, those don't apply now. Her new defense is those don't apply because that could possibly be a commercial property. So I said, well, no, we're not going to let you do that. The bona fide ain't going to fly, and I'm not allowing you to bring in a new defense. So screw them. No go. How do you like them apples?
Yeah.
That's pretty good news.
The stupidity must be in the water this month.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
That's not a bona fide error. That's a bonehead error.
Yeah.
That's what that is. I mean, call you 50 sometimes and going around counsel and everything, and you kept telling them, you know, this is a cell phone, don't call me anymore. I mean, it's not like they didn't know anything. Yeah.
Yeah.
I had two debt collector calls within 10 minutes of this call starting tonight. I just had two of them from the same company. I picked up the first time they hung up on me, and then they called back again. I was busy, and I didn't have a chance to grab it. Dum-de-dum-dum. But I've actually got a little bit of good news I'll throw out. The first Midland case that I filed in small claims that was taken to federal court that they tried to put in the MDL, that the MDL rejected, said, we don't want it. They turned around and put in an offer of judgment for $2,501 plus paying me my reasonable attorney's fees and costs. And I accepted that offer last Friday. So they've put in a motion to dismiss saying the court does not have jurisdiction, which is true. I did some research on it. And I can't talk to the clerk today or tomorrow because they are in conference. So our court is basically down today and tomorrow. But I got a couple questions for her on Thursday morning when I have a chance to talk to her. But basically that one's done. The second case that I filed in small claims, they moved to federal court last week. Here we go again. Oh, and gee, the day I found out they moved that to federal court, I went and filed another third small claims case. So,
and they haven't seen anything, right?
I haven't even got the paperwork from the county yet on that.
Oh, okay.
As soon as I get that, I'll send that to the process server in Austin, who will serve their registered agent. So, you know, they've now taken the second one, but the attorney asked to have a 3-week enlargement of time to answer that complaint. And what's really interesting is last Friday, as soon as I found out about the stuff, I went ahead and I did my first amended complaint, which they're in the state court, in the county court, there's very minimal pleading standards. You only got a little bit of information that you put in there. Your pleading standards in federal court are obviously different, and I had done an amended complaint on the first suit when they moved it. And I did an amended complaint on this one, filed it Friday, the same day the judge issued an order telling me that I needed to do that. So I was already ahead of him. And he gave the attorney on the other side specific instructions. He's got 21 days to file his answer from the day that I filed my amended complaint, which I did on Friday. So that all melds in together. Whether they're going to try and take it to the MDL, I have absolutely no idea. I'm thinking that they're not, but I don't know. So the strategy so far has already given me back my costs in filing the first small claim suit and has given me $2,500. So they're going to finance the filings in the small claim court. Isn't that nice of them? So that's the good news I've got on that. I'm not going to talk about the other stuff, but, you know, my phones keep ringing.
That's good. Yeah, keep it up, Bubba. That's right.
Yeah. All right. So if anybody else has good news, hit 1 on the keypad on your phone for good news only. Don't get into the Q&A yet. We do have somebody with their hand raised here, so let's go to 765 for your good news.
I'm sorry, I just had gotten in and put the hit 1. I just have a question.
Okay, we'll get to you in just a little bit.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. And that gal sounded just like one of the clerks at the court. Wow, that's amazing. it's like, Karen, is that you?
Yeah.
Anyway, there's a lot of interesting stuff going on. I know we're getting into summer. Don't let up, everybody. You have to stay on this stuff. I'm up to my eyeballs in litigation now because of all the stuff I've had with doing these small claims cases, although I will have one going away. But I'm getting ready for an onslaught because I just answered discovery in one of my cases, and I've got most of the discovery answers done in another case, which I have to get sent out shortly as well. So you got to keep up with your paperwork. But it doesn't look like anybody else has raised their hand.
I had a super lawyer moment.
Oh, hey, we love those.
I had, in a federal case, the other side put in a motion to dismiss, and the lawyer didn't sign the motion. And so I went ahead and answered it like I would, but I just put in my factual allegations that the attorney for the defendant didn't sign the motion in violation of Rule 11. And, you know, I didn't do any more because, you know, there's no sanctions for me to get. But according to the rules, the minute someone doesn't do that, the judge is supposed to strike the document. So if the judge doesn't strike it and gives me a ruling I don't like, I've got an appealable issue right there.
Uh-huh. Very good. It's amazing how careless these people are. Yeah. It's amazing how careless these people are. Well, a good example of that is, as you guys know, on the discovery that I just answered on one of my cases, they propounded discovery admissions to me under the Texas Rules of Civil Procedure, yet it's a federal court case. Well, you can just imagine what they got for an answer. Try it again. But, yeah, it seems to be in the water, doesn't it, John?
Yeah, fluoride.
Yeah. Yeah, well, they drink that
fluoride
water,
fluoride on steroids.
Yeah. Yeah, the lawyers drink that, too. All right, we've got a couple other people pop up here. Let's see if we got some other good news here real quick. Let's go to 773. See if you have some good news for us. You've been unmuted.
Hello, guys. How you doing?
Doing pretty good. You got some good news?
Yes, I do. This is Wayne out of Chicago. I was talking with you guys last week. My buddy in Merlin, who I'm helping do a TC violation with Allied Interstate, had his settlement conference with the magistrate judge the other day in Merlin, and he's the one that didn't finish doing all his discovery as far as the request for productions. Well, the other side didn't do their discovery as well as neither. They was trying to get out of things, trying to hide behind attorney-client privilege, mumbo-jumbo. But anyway, the magistrate judge wasn't falling for it, so they didn't hit my buddy with no sanctions or anything like that. The magistrate judge left the door open for my buddy to, you know, to feel free to get in touch with her anytime he wants. So they raised up their settlement offer, the other side, but it wasn't enough. So now we're getting ready to send something to them to see what they want to do. So we're looking pretty good right now.
Well, good.
This is for this is for 30 calls.
Wow, that works.
Did they make an offer?
They made an offer, but it wasn't nowhere in the ballpark, nowhere near from what the lawsuit is. This is a $60,000 lawsuit, and they came up from $1,500 to $3,500 to $5,000 and now $7,500.
So well, mine's $150,000. Yeah, I mean, they offered $30,000, and I have a mediation this Friday, you know, and I know for sure where they're going to go with this, but, you know, at the end of the day, I won't budge for under $95,000.
Right. The magistrate judge said that they was not being serious on their good faith settlement offer.
Right.
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 Supposedly good faith.
Right. Right. So that's a good thing. And one of the good news is that I got is that my brother in Colorado, who I was helping, his case, they if you guys remember, they dismissed the case without prejudice. We're getting ready to file for them to do it with prejudice on the basis that we were talking about, I believe that was Dave, we were talking
right.
to last week. And
right.
So we're going to do that. Oh, guys, by the way, he went to court today when he got back home. He's a truck driver. He went downtown to the courthouse to see about getting that one document where the lawyer said that he was going to be the witness for Midland and also for Wells Fargo, and that document was not even filed in the court.
Oh, boy.
So the lady thought that was pretty peculiar for them not to have that filed in the record. And so he had this copy anyway, but we're going to go ahead and go after those clowns. For the Bar
yeah.
Association is concerned.
Well, you just never know, do you?
Oh, yeah. So that's our good news. I talked to a buddy of mine.
Never
see the said, yeah, a buddy of mine
wow.
told me, he said, man, that's the best thing for you to do is go after those clowns for them saying that they're going to be the witness because they can't be both, as we all know.
Right.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah, so we're looking
Absolutely.
Pretty good. So that's our good news.
All righty. Real good. Thank you very much. Do me a favor and hit the one key to drop you out of the queue there, if you would.
Sure will.
All righty. Thanks a lot. Okay, let's go to 240, see if we have any good news. 240, you have been unmuted. Go ahead, please. Well, wait a minute. No, the board jumped on me again. I just hate it when it does that. Doggone it. All right, 240, you are now unmuted. You got some good news for us?
Yeah, this is Thomas and Merlin.
Yeah.
In the month of April, I think I did about 20,000. So
nice.
I'm over 100 now.
Very good.
But I got some semi bigger ones coming down the pipe. Where I'm suing the furniture and all three, you know, credit report agencies. But it's kind of difficult pro se trying to get them to do a high settlement. I'm in DC and it's like lawyers everywhere, so I think they negotiate a little harder down here.
Yeah.
Well, they're
full
loaded
of lawyers
with lawyers in that neck of the
yeah,
woods.
Yeah, from the White House all the way down. That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, that's lawyer
man.
Heaven
Terrible.
Over there.
Yeah.
Man. Well, that's good. Keep up the good work. Man, you're knocking them down. We're going to start calling you money bags.
Yeah, man. That's good. That's good.
Sure. All right. Well, thank you very much. Appreciate the good news.
All right.
All right, and if you would, press the one key to pull yourself out of the queue so that we got you covered there. All right. We're going to try 360 and see if we've got some good news at 360.
Yeah, we got good news.
All right, let's hear it.
This is Dave up here in Washington. And good news was I had that Bank of America suit and with my house that I willingly wanted to, walk away from. And I got the smaller party to just go ahead and settle. And so that was a good thing. They were kind of a non-party, but they kind of were in the way of the beast coming at them. And so they decided to settle out for a nice little chunk of change for $4,000. It was kind of funny because they had some ridiculous motion to dismiss, saying that, I was just throwing spaghetti noodles at the wall to see what would stick, and, the same old mantra. And so I came back, and I was kind of ticked off because of what they said. It almost sounded like their secretary wrote it. And then when I called them, I talked to one of the guys who was the attorney. And he seemed kind of nice. I was kind of figuring, I didn't even ask him, but I said, I was just looking at the motion, and I know the judge will probably let me amend, and I forgot to mention that it's me and my wife, and I was just thinking we're just one party, but it's actually, two. So instead of six, I got you for 12, so that's what we're writing down. Just what do you want to settle at? And so we settled there. And then, but then Bank of America and my so-called Linderman mortgage, I had these guys on the hook for a couple hundred thousand for fraud and a whole bunch of stuff. And, I had a really good complaint written down. And even my friend was telling me, man, that's really good. So what we did is, in the midst of this, they filed a motion to dismiss. In the meantime, I had purchased Richard Corn for civil procedures, as well as, I mean, I had your stuff. So I was ready for bear here. And when they came in with their motion, I mean, there was nothing to impeach my claim. It was just a bunch of witnesses, you know, professing gobbledygook. And so I went ahead, and it's almost like I found out that this judge, who my friend had, he got his case dismissed right off the bat with prejudice. I thought, oh, my gosh, well, I'm going to have to just do a response here. It's almost like a motion for summary judgment response the way this guy's acting. So that's what I did. I went ahead and filed a 12-page response thinking, okay, I got this guy on the hook. I did a Richard Cornforth special, Haynes versus Kerner, Trinzi, whatever that one is.
Pagliaro.
Trinzi versus Pagliaro.
I mean, I had the memorandum of law. This guy was cooked. He couldn't do nothing. What does he do? He cites the attorneys, dismisses my claim with prejudice.
Ooh.
Pro se. Oh, yeah, this guy, I'm thinking. And then I look at his bank records, and lo and behold, he has Bank of America. So that was my good news, because now I get to go to the appeals court, and I'm kind of looking forward to it, because it was so ridiculously over the top dismissing a pro se's complaint with prejudice. I thought, oh, this is going to be good. So I guess it's good news. I've made $18,000 since December putting this to work, and I just followed you guys'
awesome
procedures. And, yeah, I mean, I just do what I have to do. And so I'm glad I did that, too, because I kind of would have been sucker-punched having the federal judge dismiss my claim with prejudice if I hadn't done all that hard work and studying and had some winnings under my belt. That can really deflate a person. And I also had my friend who's going through the same thing, and so we can encourage each other. And, you know, these calls are really good, too. So that's some really good news, knowing that when you're facing that beast in the ring and he sucker-punches you, you know you're going to come back and clobber him. So
there you go. Great job.
Yeah, I'm going to tell the attorney. He asked me. Well, what do you think? And I'm saying, well, I haven't responded back, but I said the fat lady hasn't sung yet, and the fat lady's me, so it'll be over when I say it is. So that's the good news.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Great. That's
yep.
$18,000 since the first of the year. That's pretty nice work. I mean, I don't know anybody that would be dissatisfied with that. Let me put it that way. Wow.
No.
That's great. All right. Thanks a lot. Do me a favor. Hit the 1 key to drop yourself out of the queue on that. And we will get to our last caller that has a hand up for good news tonight. We're going to go to 231. You have been unmuted for good news.
231?
Yes.
Is that me? Okay. Well, that's for good news, though. I have bad news. I came in a little late, so I have a question. So I'm in the wrong queue.
Okay. We'll get you. Just leave your hand up because you're the last one that we have. Well, no, wait a minute. We got one more there, but leave your hand up. We'll get you.
Thank you.
All righty. Thank you. Got one more here that jumped up real quick. We're going to go to 661 for good news, and I hope you weren't jumping the gun.
Okay. Is that me?
661 for good news, yes.
Is that me? Okay. I've been dealing with a foreclosure for about 4 years, and City Mortgage did me a favor and sold it off to Celine Finance, and we've been... You know, they wanted to substitute. I've been going through all kinds of things. Anyway, I got a voluntary I guess it's kind of good news, voluntary dismissal from them until the next bout, I guess. So I thought that was pretty good, getting a dismissal from them.
Yeah. How close are you to your statute of limitations?
Yeah, that's always nasty.
It is.
Yeah, I knew where you'd be going, Jesse.
It's coming up in October, okay? So they have 6 months, and so They still have some time to file, but it's going to be interesting because it's so convoluted. I mean, oh, my God, they're just so stupid. But they changed attorneys on me. Then they went to they wanted to go to trial, and so I did hire an attorney for trial because I didn't feel that I was capable for that. And so they did end up doing a voluntary dismissal because, I mean, it's so obvious. Of course, now I'm going to go into the question thing with you later. So it's pretty good. I got a voluntary dismissal. I feel good. I got 4.5 years in, so.
Well, that's right. If you have to move out next week, you've won. You've done good. That's the way you got to look at it. You've done good.
Yeah, I feel good. I mean, it was like there were times, like I was going to throw in the towel, and then right at the trial, he sends me an email. He wanted to do a deed in lieu of, and I was, after 4.5 years, I was considering it, and I thought, no, I just couldn't do it. It's such a good case. I mean, if I told you what they've done, so I just didn't feel it. And then all of a sudden I got the lawyer, and we did a voluntary dismissal. And then the lawyer, now we're waiting. He put in for my fees, for the fees, so might not cost me anything for him.
Yeah, it won't cost you anything because I did a voluntary dismissal. They owe you.
Right.
Yeah, so if he wants, he pays my fees too, which is good. And so now I'm going to pump up and get ready for if they come at me again.
Yep.
Because
there
it's
you go.
Really, it's a good case.
Plan your work and work your plan.
Yeah, so that's
right?
What I'm getting ready for. And also I have 30 calls now. I couldn't do it before, but they've called me about 30 times. And I have all the messages and everything, so I'm going to get ready to. Now, they did that in 2012. It's not too late, right?
Well, did you have an attorney back in 2012 just by any chance?
No, it was just
okay,
me.
Okay, no, so it's not going around counsel. But that's okay. No, it's not. You got a 4-year statute, so you're good. No worries.
Okay, great. All right, yeah, I'm feeling good about it.
That's
I'm hoping
great.
To get a house.
Super.
I'm hoping to get a house like you did.
Well, let's see.
This DCA here, yeah, they keep screwing things up. I'm not so sure. So we'll see what the Supreme Court of Florida says.
Yep.
Well, when they do an RE, they've changed that. They did do the assignment, but they only assigned the note. Then within Celine, they assigned it to an LLC. Then the LLC assigns it to an REO. Then the REO assigns it to Wells Fargo and just the note. But they assign, that's how I got them to stop the substitution. They wanted to substitute themselves. And so I got them, they stopped that because it was so, the assignments were so messed up. And so, so that's, and they, there's robos. I mean, there's just so much in there. So I'm gearing up for, see if they come at me again, and hopefully they won't in 6 months. So, and I don't know. This is a question I was going to ask. Celine
well,
started.
Well, we're not doing questions right now.
Oh,
this is just good news. We'll do Q&A.
Okay, I'll come back. I thought that was good news.
All right. Yep. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. We have one more. We have Chicago that popped up, and I just wonder if that's Rodney. 708,
unmuted. No, Dave.
That's Sam.
That was the last one, so I was...
Yeah.
Oh, you were trying to sneak in here.
I am not here with a wet noodle today.
Oh, man. I got to get out the wet noodle for you. I can see that right now.
No, I put my hand up after you said this is the last call.
Yeah. All right.
So I'm going to queue for questions.
Yeah, all right. Well... We're gonna go to Q&A here, and I've got to go back up to the top of the list a little bit, but you'll be
all
in
right.
here.
So, that's
all right.
Fair. All right.
For everybody else, we are now going to Q&A. You can hit 1 on your keypad on your phone. That'll put you in the queue, and we'll get going. Jesse, do you have anything you wanted to go over at all before
good,
we
Bubba.
Get into Q&A? All right.
No, sir.
And we're gonna jump in with both feet here. And we are going to go back to 231. 231,
okay.
You've been unmuted.
Thank you.
Sure.
I'm from Michigan. I feel a little bit alone up here. Y'all are in Florida, it seems, or different parts of the country.
Oh,
but,
no.
And I can't seem to find anybody in Michigan. I'm not real proficient with the computer, so I've gone on the private messages, but you got to put somebody in there. I don't see where any of the other members are from Michigan, so it doesn't tell me.
Have you been in
so
the pleadings? Have you been in the pleadings section in the forum and put something
okay.
in there that you're looking for people? Because pleading section is broken down by state.
Okay. And is it at the top of the blog, or is it, I mean, is it at the
it's,
top
you
of
go
the...
In, you go in the forum,
uh-huh.
you go in the forum, and then mm-hmm. you go down to the pleading section. You just scroll down and look,
okay.
and then you'll see that that's divided into all 50 states. Just go to Michigan
okay.
and put a note in there that you're looking to make contact with people in Michigan.
Perfect. Okay. Thank you for telling me how to do that. Now,
sure.
the thing that I have here is I have a case here where it's 2012. It is a Lowe's card that was actually written off and charged off, and even in the letter that came back with the attorney out of nowhere. So this attorney appeared out of nowhere. She's a junkyard dog from Troy, Michigan, Mary Jane Elliott, and she's just famous for this. And she says she's purporting, she's representing GE Capital on this thing, and I've never done any dealings with GE Capital Retail Bank. And she's come at me, and the first time I see her is that she's already made a motion with the court and commanding that I, you know, reply. And so I've got to
put
this
thing together. Wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute,
uh-huh.
wait a minute here. We need to get some terminology squared away. They filed
okay.
suit against you?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
They filed suit
in Leland
against
County.
You.
Mm-hmm. They filed
okay.
suit
right.
against me and put as the client, as a creditor name, GE Retail Bank, okay? Well, I
okay.
asked them for proof. I asked them, I said, where's your proof that you have any, that you're actually representing GE Retail Bank, and I don't have any dealings with them in the first place.
Yeah.
Well,
okay.
they dragged me into court because I answered it, and then they came back with all these Michigan laws, and, you know, I slammed them with everything that I thought I could from the website. And then I'm not real proficient at it yet, but I did the best I could. And then they dragged me into court. And then
what do you mean,
local,
dragged you into court?
Well,
what do you mean by that?
Because the motion went back and forth. Okay, I answered their motion, okay, and then
they
answered my motion.
Oh. Excuse me. You say they did a motion and I answered, we don't know what you're talking about. What motion for what?
Okay.
You
well,
got to give
on
us more
card.
Details
it's
so we
collection.
Understand.
Okay,
no, no, no,
it's
no,
on
no,
the collection.
No. No, no, no.
Sure.
You said they put in a motion. A motion for what?
Okay.
You have
the
to.
Motion was an affidavit, you know, was they, no, wait a minute.
Yeah, it's not a motion. They served you with a lawsuit, and you answered
okay.
that lawsuit. That's what
okay.
that's
and then
what I think
I
you're
put
wanting
in
to
a
say.
Motion. Yeah, okay, I'm sorry. Okay, so I'm a little slow. I've been in an accident. Auto accident that almost killed me, so just bear with me. I'm not real...
okay,
with
well, that's
okay,
fine.
So
I mean, we can understand
okay.
that. We just need
okay.
enough information so we can understand
okay.
what it is you're talking about so we can help you. That's all.
All right. All right. So what I have here is they filed a lawsuit against me. Okay, I receive these papers. So then I answer the lawsuit with a motion to dismiss the amended complaint, okay? And I got that off, you know, the format. I actually used your format, and then with the notice of dispute and what I needed to have there. And then they slammed me back with actually a six-page going through the law, and you owe this, and this and that and the other thing. And so then I turned around, and I went to an attorney, and actually the attorney called this other attorney firm that had sued me and supposedly purporting to be representing GE Retail Bank. And, you know, they went back and forth, and the guy would never, he said, my attorney said, we want proof that you actually represent these people, this bank. We want, first of all, we want proof. Well,
listen,
I can't
here,
give you that. I can't show you my contracts.
Yeah, listen. At the end of the day, they don't have to prove that to you. Why would they have to prove that to you? Okay, think
well,
about what you're asking them to do.
Okay.
If you do a notice of dispute, okay, and I'm literally blown away that an attorney would actually say that. Okay, I mean, you could demand it, but are you going to get it? Not likely.
Okay. Yeah, because even the judge wouldn't concur with that.
Of course. I wouldn't even bother asking for proof like that because I know that the judge is going to laugh me out of his courtroom, okay? At the end of the day, they got client privilege, you know, issues and yada, yada, yada.
Yep.
But, okay, the you have to – what I would be saying to them is if you have no business with GE Capital, why are they suing you? And if they haven't answered your notice of dispute and they kept collection activities going, then you need to just sue them and quit fooling with them. Put them into the federal court, be done with it, them and their attorney and everybody else.
Well, what they have done to me is they, you know, we ended up in court, and then the judge was trying to side with, you know, they sent an attorney clear up here to appear in this little podunk courtroom, and this local judge, you know, he's listening to this attorney, and I, you know, he almost sided completely with him and gave him the whole thing, and the guy was saying, well, she should have the burden of proof to prove that she doesn't owe this.
No,
that doesn't work that way.
You know,
I said, I'd like to see the contract, the signed contract with GE Retail. I don't even know who they are.
Yeah, you know, it's funny as this, and you know, I mean, I'm a smart aleck, and I think most of you guys know that, but I would have just looked at the judge and said, okay, Your Honor, I'm going to go ahead and sue you tomorrow for $1 million, and the burden's going to be on you to prove that you don't owe me the money. Is that going to work? You want to do that? Let's see how he responds when you say that to him. Other than, oh, I'm going to hold you in contempt for talking crap, basically. You know, really? I mean, come on. You're suing me, but I got to prove to you that you don't owe me, you know.
So
yeah.
Now I have 23
days
to bring up some kind of, I have to answer all their motions for against me, and I have to answer the whole complaint thing because they countered with a complaint. And all these laws and everything else and all these accusations. So now I have to answer all of that, and then I have to come up with proof that I don't owe this money in this account.
No, you don't.
So what
I've already given
you
your answer. Yeah, I've already given you your answer. We can already go to the next caller. I've given you your answer. You just apparently went in one ear and out the other. Sue them.
Well, I'm sorry.
Well, just sue them. That's
okay.
It. Put them in
and
federal
I can,
court.
And
forget
I,
the whole dunk little thing. Put it all in the federal court. Be done with it.
Okay, and I can go to the website. I'm a member, and I can get in the website, and it's going to tell me how to do that.
The word
well,
where
you
want to go.
You have an attorney.
I don't have an attorney now. He was a friend. Just doing.
Okay. All right. Now. There's two places that you need to go on the website to get started to learn that, and you need to do it as fast as you can.
Okay.
The first one is taking their money, the taking their money section.
Okay.
And then to learn about writing a federal complaint, how to properly structure it and do everything, you want to go to the webinar series, the Summer Slam.
Summer Slam?
That'll tell you how to write a complaint. Now, when the SummerSlam series, it was a series of webinars that we did, that covered, as an example, doing an FCRA complaint, but yours is going to be an FDCPA complaint, but you are going to use the same structure for writing and laying out your claims against them and doing that. But you're going to find that information between those two areas, the SummerSlam and then the Taking Their Money section. And then you need to be on the calls on Monday and Tuesday nights to be able to ask questions about things, Monday and Wednesday nights as well, to get questions answered as you're moving along with your studies.
Okay. Yeah.
And listen,
and
can I make a suggestion?
Yes.
I just want to make a suggestion that you go find your attorney buddy again and get him on it. Usually they take all the FDCPA cases on contingency, so it's a pretty simple deal.
I can't. He's too far away from me now. He was in another state. So I'm kind of standing alone here.
Okay, so you don't have any attorneys where you live that you can go tell them and get some help?
I don't know of any that do any contingencies. They're high-powered, and they take your money here.
FCCP, a podunk courtroom, and you say they're all high-powered attorneys.
Yeah,
those two generally don't mix.
Yeah. Let me make a suggestion for a place for you to possibly find an attorney to help you. Go to NACA.net, National Association of Consumer Advocates, NACA.net.
Got it.
And see what you can find out there. Find yourself
a
consumer attorney.
Okay, I need a good Tea Party attorney who understands the principles of the Constitution.
That doesn't enter into this one little bit. Don't even go there.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Don't go there.
Hmm. You don't want to go there.
Okay, so I just need someone that will do it on a contingency.
Yeah, FDCPA
is almost all contingency.
There. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Talk to them, see if you can find somebody there.
This is only $3,600. It was like $2,200 or something. This is what these people are going after.
It doesn't
matter, but isn't it ridiculous? Okay.
Yeah, we've had people that have been sued over $30. How stupid is that?
Really?
Yeah.
Well,
$30.
In fact, this big case that I'm involved in, one of the debts doesn't exist. They say it was paid off in 2008, and the other one is $300. And this case has to have cost them somewhere around $25,000 already.
Yeah. Yeah. This is the kind of people I'm up against.
Yeah. Well,
yeah. That's it.
We gave you your lay out there. Go for it.
Marching instructions. Thank you.
There,
I appreciate
it. You're welcome.
Okay. God bless you. Bye.
Thanks. All right.
Good luck for that. I hate to hear that.
Let's go back to Let's go to 661. We're back to you. You've been unmuted. Hello, 661. You wanted back in. You had questions.
Oh, is that me? Okay. I'm sorry. I'm on Skype.
Yeah.
I never know what number it is. Okay. As I was speaking before, now I had the voluntary dismissal, and the Celine Finance now is sending me mortgage statements. Should I send them a validation? Because I sent them one like a couple of years ago, and they just sent me some garbage.
Who is it that you said? Who is it now?
It's
Celine Finance. They buy.
I thought it was City Mortgage.
City Mortgage sold it to or sold it. You know, it was a debt buyer. They sold it. City Mortgage sold it in the middle of foreclosure to Celine Finance, or transferred it, or whatever.
Okay.
So, you know, we've gone through all this battle and everything, and, you know, they're just a pretender lender or whatever. And so they did the voluntary dismissal because their paperwork's all messed up. So now they're starting to send me a mortgage statement, which they've never done before, you know, all laid out. So do I send them a validation again?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I guess that's all I can do at this point, other than just wait and see what they do.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
You can't attack them first. There's no doubt about it. You need to go dealing with your servicer. You need to definitely go see that on the website.
Yeah.
I suggest that you're in a prime position to go attack them now.
Yeah.
And I suggest you really consider that before they come back at you.
Yes, that's what I'm going to do. You know, that's why I have the calls that they gave to me and some there's a lot of things there. So that's what I'm going to be focusing on right now that I have the time. I don't have to battle with them.
Cool. Yeah. Get it done.
Okay.
Sure.
So I just want to know if, you know, because I sent them a validation before and they sent me all this garbage and I had to argue with their attorney. They said they sent me, you know, validation, whatever. Okay. Well, I'll just send them another one then, see what happens. And then I'll go on the offensive.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, defense is a good offense. Go get them.
That's right.
Yeah. Right. I'm okay. Thanks a lot. Thank you, guys. You really are.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, let's go to 708. You've been unmuted.
Hi, guys. It's Rodney.
Hey, Rodney. How you doing?
Pretty good. A little tired. I'll make it quick. Got some good news. Chase Bank has pulled my credit yet again after the lawsuit.
Oh, man.
So I'm loving it.
Oh, man.
I think we're at 33 now, or 35. I'm losing count. And it's been transferred to a magistrate judge. I just pulled up his website, printed out all the necessary material, and my court date is on the 20th for that. And I'm feeling good. They're steadily pulling. Haven't stopped yet.
Well, that's really interesting that, you know, the plot thickens, as the saying goes, right?
Yeah, exactly. Now, I've got one debt collector. I don't have my notes in front of me, but he sent me a letter. I think it might have been Enhanced Recovery Group. And it was the weirdest debt collector letter I've received to date because they made the statement that this debt was not bought on the open market and that they are affiliated with, it's a hospital medical bill. It's a very small amount, too. I was using it as a test to see if I can get some TCPA charges going. But they are not calling neither one of my two cell phones. They just keep calling the house phone. But that was pretty unusual that they would highlight that. So my question to you guys is, has anyone encountered where a debt collector would actually say in a letter that they have not purchased the debt, as if to distance themselves, I guess?
I've never seen it, but they're probably going to say it was assigned, I would venture to guess.
Yeah, I haven't seen it, but I would say the same thing that Jesse just said.
Okay, because they keep saying, no, the hospital is our client, and we're not a debt collector. I'm going, well, yeah, you are. Your letter clearly states that you are. Well, we didn't buy your debt on the open market. I said, well, I didn't ask.
Well, it doesn't matter. They're still a debt collector.
What's that matter?
Really
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I found that unusual. And right after I had that conversation with that particular debt collector, I got another letter from the hospital itself that stated I'm not cooperating and that they were going to start more aggressive collection actions.
Yeah.
I go, okay.
Was that Enhanced Recovery Company, ERC, out of Jacksonville, Florida?
Yeah, it was them that sent me that one. And
okay.
I thought that was very weird. I've never had received a letter like that. So.
Yeah. That's kind of odd, Doug.
Yeah, I fall over easily when you threaten to sue them.
Yeah. Update on Bank of America. I've submitted requests for admissions in state court. They came back with a motion to strike saying the format was incorrect. There was some change in the Illinois Supreme laws. So I researched that, made the corrections, and tomorrow I'm going down to state court to submit an amended request for admissions. And I'm going to give them 30 days because the next court date is not until July 29th. Give them the 28 or 38 days to answer that, and then I'll come back with a motion to dismiss in state court. And in federal right now, we're just pretty much waiting on my amended complaint, which I should be wrapping up tonight or tomorrow, and I'll file that on Thursday. So slowly gaining some ground.
There you go.
Yeah.
You're on top of it.
Yeah, I'm
good
trying.
Good job.
Thank you. That's
all
it
righty.
For me.
You're doing a good job. All righty, thanks.
All right, take care.
You too. All right, let's go to 817. That's right down here in the Fort Worth area. Good evening,
hey,
817.
Hey, it's Keisha.
Oh, no, it's Keisha.
I just had a quick question regarding, like, the court reporters that we, you know, want to bring in for ourselves, you know, to, the, like, to any of the hearings or whatever that we have.
Right.
So I was just wondering, am I going down to the courthouse and looking to see, hey, is there a court reporter there, or
am I looking online to try to find someone? You can shop
online
and find them. You want to arrange them in advance. You don't want to go down to the courthouse when you have a hearing and take a chance on trying to find one, because you very possibly would not.
Okay, and then the next question I had to go along with that is, would they have to be, because I know someone that does that, but she's not registered, like, at the courthouse there, so does it matter, like, how... Is there a procedure that has to be done, like, in order for the court reporters to come that you want to, you know?
She's the one that should know that.
Yeah, she's the court reporter. She needs to know all that. But there is.
Yes, she needs to know all that. She should be able to tell you. Yes, absolutely.
Okay, but she wasn't able to, so that's why I was like, let me ask so I can find out myself before I, you know, you want to just choose somebody. So I wanted to make sure what I was looking for.
Yeah, she would want to, if she was interested in doing it, she would have to maybe contact the court there to find out how she'd have to go about getting registered or whatever is required.
She is
a court reporter, has to get that information and get that done, not you.
Okay. And then, Jesse, earlier when we were talking about, you know, with the payment, the due date for the payment, and I actually read through my mortgage, and it said, like, you know, if it's not spent with, like, within the 15 days, then they would be. So that first payment actually that I spent would actually make them, I would have my loan basically in default when they took
it. Yeah, the defaulted servicer. That's awesome.
That was good. I was like, I can't wait till I get home so I can check. Because, remember, I sent them that qualified written request, and then Wells Fargo Home Mortgage sent me the statement of all the payments that were due, and that actual first payment that I sent to them was received after that. So, yeah. So, thank you.
That helped me.
All righty. That take care of you, dear?
Yeah, thank you.
All righty. Thank you. You have a great evening. Okay. Trying to mute that. There we go. Okay. Let's go to 916 for your question. Go ahead.
Hi. I filed a TCPA suit in California, and I've been in negotiations for the past 2 weeks with the attorney, but nothing has been solidified, and the trial is tomorrow. And yesterday he called and asked if he could have more time so we could finalize the agreement. He asked if we could set the trial 30 days from now, if I consented to that. And I did not consent to that. And so today he sent a request to the court. It's small claims. And he asked if they would extend it for 30 days, and the judge denied it. So the trial is still going tomorrow. And so I have cell phone records. I don't have any pictures, but so I just right now have my cell records and an affidavit in support of that.
Have you got your phone? Does it show any of that information on the actual phone still?
No.
Okay.
No matter.
We have one of our moderators that has got noise in the background. Somebody, one of the people needs to mute their phone because we're getting a background noise, whoever that's coming from.
I think, yeah, I don't know what that noise is. You sure it's just not him, Dave? Are you on the road?
It was going before he came on.
I started hearing it. Yeah, I started hearing it myself.
Okay. Anyway, if you got the phone records, there's not much else you need to prove, you know.
You're pretty done there,
I would say.
Is that affidavit a good thing to take, or is that even necessary?
What do you mean? The affidavit just supports you, so I don't know what affidavit you're talking about. That's when you're doing a motion for judgment or, whatever.
I called in a few weeks ago, and they said to put in an affidavit in support of, I believe John, I think his name was John.
said that. So that's what.
What is the content of your affidavit? What does it say? The gist of it?
Pretty much the same thing I put in the complaint, that on such and such date I received a call to my cell phone in violation of the TCPA.
No, you can't. So
yeah, see. Let me interject here, Dave, real quick. You can't have an affidavit that determines legal conclusions.
Okay.
You can say on such and such a date I received a call from so and so. I never gave him permission. I've had no business dealings with them. But you can't say in violation of anything, because that is a legal determination that you're making. And you're not supposed to be doing that. That's for the court to decide. See?
I understand.
Yeah, and that goes for everybody. I'm just making that as a general comment. When you do affidavits, make sure you don't put legal conclusions on them, because they will eat your affidavit alive and it'll be gone.
Mm-hmm.
Make sense?
Absolutely right. So a statement of fact from your firsthand knowledge. You received the call. You had not get from number so-and-so at such and such a time and date, and you had not given them consent to call your phone. Those are all facts you can testify to.
So besides the cell phone records and just my regular old paperwork, I really don't need anything else. No, I'm nothing, I guess. This is my first time going, so I just was a little nervous. Okay. All right. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
All righty. Thank you.
Have a good one.
Okay. Let's go to 708. And I'll bet you that's probably Sam. Well, wait a minute.
Sam was here for a while.
The board jumped again. Jeez. 708. Hello. Go ahead.
All right. Dave.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
I am.
Okay, good. And I know you are. Jesse, I have a rhetorical question. Just real quick. Why don't we ever hear about judges in foreclosure?
What do you mean?
I just never hear any news about it. I mean, do judges get foreclosed on?
I have no idea. That's a crazy question to ask. I mean, hell, they make enough money, they shouldn't be.
I was just going to say, I don't think they'd be out publicizing it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, now to the real world. Jesse, now, what I noticed in most of the Illinois foreclosure complaints, they always mention either homeowner or mortgagor, but they never say the loan is in default. Is there a reason for that? Now, I did read my statute.
I don't understand what you mean. They always say the loan is in default. That's the opposite of what you just said. That's what I don't get.
Say again. I was talking while you were talking. I'm sorry.
When they send you the notice, is that what you're referring to? They always say this loan's in default.
No, it doesn't say, not in the actual complaint. They always
No, the complaint generally says that loan defaulted on such and such a date.
It doesn't say the word loan.
What terminology are they using?
The payment is default, but you can't default, you know, the loan's in default.
Never say, that's what I'm asking. That's the reason I'm asking. That word is absent. The word
What terminology are they using?
They use the word either homeowner and or mortgagor.
I don't know about that. Maybe.
They're speaking of the person as opposed to.
Yeah, I see what he's going with that. Yeah.
The loan, yeah.
Well, but, okay. I don't know. Maybe it's irrelevant. I just always thought that they're supposed to say that the loan is in default. But, okay, I'll skip past that. And then the last thing I wanted to ask, when they name the, well, maybe I should read this part first. Okay. In Illinois' statute under foreclosure, I'm going to read the definition that they, the statute that they give for mortgagee, which probably is the same all over. But it says mortgagee means, one, the holder of an indebtedness or obligee of a non-monetary obligation secured by a mortgage or any person designated or authorized to act on behalf of such holder. And two, any person claiming through a mortgagee as successor. Okay, now, this is my question. On most of foreclosure complaints here in Illinois, if MERS is the nominee for the original lender, how can that be?
What are you trying to do? Give me a loaded question or something?
No. I'm asking seriously. I'm studying like you tell me, and I can't get it. I can't get the understanding of it.
I don't understand why you can't understand that.
Okay. I do understand that MERS owns and holds nothing. I'm clear.
Correct. They're just a nominee.
Okay, I'm clear about that. But why would they write in the statute that a nominee, as a definition, defines the mortgagee?
They repeat that question, Sam.
If they include in our statute that a mortgagee is anyone designated or has been designated as a successor. Isn't that...
That's exactly MERS.
That's right.
That's exactly what the MERS clause says.
Right.
Okay.
But that's not true.
Well, we know it's not true. But what does that matter?
Okay.
That's what it says. We know
right,
that's not true.
So, okay. All right. I understand what you're saying. I'm just trying
to... Yeah,
it's all
a fiction. The whole thing is a fiction.
Okay. I got it.
It's just like when you were with the word cease, you know, in your covenants. If you read that, it says that you covet that this property has been ceased. Well, when you read what the terminology of that is it's free and clear and paid for.
Right.
How can you swear to that in your mortgage? You can't. It's a legal fiction.
That's true.
You understand? So it just is what it is. Part of the process, unfortunately. It's just a legal fiction.
All right, I got it. Oh, and Wayne, if you hear me, can you send your email to Wayne from Chicago, if you hear this, can you send your email address to Terry so she can send it to me, because I got Rodney, and since the three of us in Chicago, we should be together. All right, guys, thank you. I'll mute out.
All right, buddy.
All righty. Thank you, buddy. All right. Let's go to 623 for your question. You've been unmuted. Go ahead.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, this is Carla. I've got a little bit of a speech problem, but I'll do my best. I just jumped in the call not too long ago. There was a woman talking about an attorney, an agency relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kind of wanted to comment on that. There was a forcible detainer that I had. The plaintiff was Washington Mutual Bank. I did challenge the presumption. You know, I did actually move the, ask for strict proof of agency. And the judges tend to do all the arguing and not let the other side. He stated that it's, you know, presumed that if the attorney's name is on the top of the paper, that's the person that's representing him. And I just basically agreed with him, and I says, Your Honor, I says, I agree with you. And I says, but, I says, that is only good until challenged, or I says, that presumption is only good until challenged. And I says, I am challenging.
Very good.
And I says, I hereby move this court, and I said it very slowly and very sternly, I says, I move this court and I demand for strict proof of agency, of an agency relationship. And it was weird. It was just like everything stopped in that courtroom, and it was like you couldn't have heard a pin drop. It was just a moment in my life I'll never forget. Anyway, he did turn to the other side and asked for it, and she went off on some tangent like they do, and I brought it, you know, back to point again, and I had to really work hard to keep it on point. And finally, he did order her to prepare a letter and ordered her, or prepare pleading, I believe it was, and have her file it by 5 o'clock, and I objected. And it was like, well, wait a minute, why are you objecting? This is what you wanted. You're, you know, you moved the court for blah, blah, blah. And I said, sir, I said, I'm not asking for any kind of a pleading. I says, there's nothing to write. I says, either agency exists or it doesn't. I says, all I want is to see it. I says, they're a big law firm, and really I had no idea. But I says, they're a big law firm. I says, I'm willing to go to their office right after this hearing and see it. All I want is to see it. And I says, I again move this court, and I demand for strict proof of an agency relationship. And he ordered it. And after that, he granted it and ordered her to allow me to go down. After that, I objected to any kind of due diligence that she even attempted to put on the record, because Washington Mutual Bank was a defunct bank.
Exactly.
And anyway, finally, at the end of the hearing, she just basically threw her hands up and says, you know what, Your Honor, I'm just going to dismiss this. And that was it.
But you hit the nail right on the head. They were a defunct corporation. How could they be in court when they didn't even exist anymore?
Right. And she swore up and down, you know, the court, you know, says, well, she's an avowed, blah, blah, blah. At one point, I gave the judge a judicial notice that Washington Mutual Inc. owned Washington Mutual Bank, or, you know, whatever it was. I had all my facts straight in my head at the time. And I said, they went out of business. And I cited the act of day. I said, sir, you know, Your Honor, this is common knowledge. And I asked the court to take judicial notice of this fact. And anyway, he says, we're going to take a recess, and instructed her to go call her, quote, supervisor, end quote. Interestingly enough, the transcripts deleted that part where he instructed her to call her supervisor. So anyway, we took a recess. She went and made some telephone call. We reconvened, and interestingly enough, she copycatted me and judicially noticed the court that they were indeed defunct.
Oh, boy. Just amazing.
But that was good. That, I did have to really fight for it, and you know, the attorneys will always go off on some tangent. They did wait 7 months, and they came back around for round two. But, you know, she said things like, you know, they are the named plaintiff. Well, I'm not arguing that they're the named plaintiff on paper. I want to see a proof of it, you know.
Yeah, that's a good term, really, isn't it? The named plaintiff.
Yeah. You know,
yeah.
You really have to really focus on the point.
The facts.
Because they... No, the point that you're trying to make, because everything that they say is always irrelevant, always. And
yeah,
you have to say, Your Honor, that's irrelevant. And several times I had to say, Your Honor, my motion before the court was, and I had to constantly retell the court what it was I was motioning.
Holy
finally,
Lord, that is bad.
Finally, when I moved the court, and I, you know, I kind of, my voice was raised, but I wasn't yelling, I don't think. But I did move the court, and I demanded for strict proof of agency, and it just, anyway, it was a good moment.
Yeah. What state
good
are you
for you?
I'm in Arizona.
You're in Arizona. Okay. Very good.
Yes. And I don't know, I don't know if you have this is the first time I've been on the call, and it's only been for the last few minutes. I had someone call me up and tell me I needed to get on this call. If there's a callback number to listen to it, I'd be happy to. I'd really like to hear what you guys were talking about. Also, I've studied forcible detainers for the last 3-4 years nonstop, and I figured out how the banks are getting 100% of the wins, and I'm getting ready to file a paper that basically explains it all. and I would be happy to share that information. I'm still working on my speech. I've been through a lot of speech therapy, and I'm getting
well,
there.
Listen, if it's any consolation, you don't need to, because you've spoken absolutely wonderful and clearly and are very articulate. So
well, it's
you're doing
okay.
Fantastic.
I'm doing a little better today. It hurts my head, and I have brain tremors the more I talk, but right now is a good moment. So anyway, thank you.
Well, thank you. And you can listen to the archive of this on Blog Talk Radio, and it's blogtalkradio.com/WLIYD. And you should be able to find the archive of this radio broadcast there.
Okay. Thanks. Are you talking about forcible detainers at all?
We're more than happy to consider looking at anything, aren't we, Jesse?
That's
if you
right.
Wanna,
yep.
Get my number and call me back later, and I'll be
well,
happy
we don't,
to
we can't
that
do that. And yeah, I don't suggest you put out that phone number on this call anyway.
Okay.
Never give phone numbers and personal information out on any of these calls, because they are memorialized, and now the whole world has them.
Okay.
If you ever do anything like that, just go to our website, contact the webmaster, and shoot him an email and be done with it. It's the easiest thing to do.
Okay. Anyway, to those out there, don't be afraid to challenge it, and just know that whatever the bank's attorney states, it's always irrelevant. One more thing with the vowels. A lot of times the judges get around things by saying, well, they've avowed to blah, blah, blah. And the vowel is only good if you allow it. If you allow it, then it sticks. If you object to it, then they actually have to bring in evidence. And a vowel and a vowel by definition is like when an attorney does an avowal that the process server did serve, you know, you. And a vowel is basically that attorney's testimony of what they believe the process server would state under oath if that person was there. Well, how
right.
does the attorney know that? Did the attorney
exactly.
talk to the person? Did they whatever? And so if you don't object to the attorney avowing to something, then it stays on the record as if it was true. So whenever an attorney avows to something, unless you agree to what they're saying, you should always object to it.
Yep.
Interesting.
Okay, what's your first name? Yeah. What's
Carla?
Your first name? Carla.
Sorry.
C-A or K-A?
C-A-R-L-A.
Okay, very good. Thank you very much, Carla.
Yeah,
and
you're welcome.
Carla,
you have spoken eloquently.
That's right. Go to the website, contact our webmaster. You'll see where it says contact us. Just click on that, send Gary an email, remind him who you were, and to get a hold of me, and then that way I can email you, and we'll get whatever information you got for that, because I'm sure if it's thorough, I'll look at it. If it's thorough, I'd love to share it with the other members, and I'm sure they would appreciate it.
I trust you. It's more thorough than you have ever seen. I've got it.
I have no
I've
doubt.
I've had it nailed.
Do you, Dave? I have no doubt.
No,
I'm excited to
I don't.
Share it.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I will
please,
do that. Thank
please
you.
Please get in touch with us.
And you know what the website is, right?
Yes, I got it.
Okay, good. All right. Fantastic.
All right. Yeah, and the contact link is the contact link is down at the bottom of the page.
Okay.
All righty. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks.
All right. We are going to go to 281. That's down around Houston.
Yeah, I talked to you last night about the case I had lost, and you suggested that I appeal it. And I talked to an attorney from the NACA website. I just wanted to let you know what he said to see what your
mm-hmm.
feedback would be.
Mm-hmm.
He said, don't bother appealing it. The Texas Appeals Court is 9 Republicans who are very pro-business, and they will just run against me. So that's what he said.
Wow, goodness. That's a real helpful individual you contacted, wasn't it?
I guess it's my luck. And then he told me that I should do a motion for a new trial. And he said, you may get a new trial. And then he said, and if you do, get an attorney to represent you. He said, if you don't get a new trial, in fact, the judge doesn't even have to answer the motion after 45 days. It's an automatic denial. He said, then you'll have 3 months to appeal the case, which would give you more time to prepare. But he said you have to do a motion for a new trial pretty quickly. So had you, what do you think about that?
Well, I mean, that's going to be a decision for you strategy-wise. It tells you something about the attorney you talked to, the NACA attorney. He's got his head up his posterior end. It's,
okay.
Well, just give up and you know, forget it. No, uh-uh.
Okay. And then he said something, I don't know if it would be helpful for anyone. He said he won a case because I guess they had the original credit card contract, which said if there were any disputes, they had to be decided by arbitration. And so he was able to get it taken out of court because of that. I don't know if I've explained it right, but if it makes sense and if it helps.
I doubt it was an original contract. That's what doesn't make sense.
Well, maybe it was the consumer that had the original contract. I didn't.
That could be. That could be. But wow.
Huh. So, alrighty. I just wanted to throw
those,
that
those
out
original
here.
Contracts are usually destroyed.
Yeah, immediately. That's why I find that very odd. You know.
Yeah. Yeah,
okay.
That's pretty odd. Well,
alrighty.
you're going to have to make a decision on, you know, how you want to pursue that. You know, you got some options there from somebody, but you know, when you get to that stage where you get into appeals, you have to think in terms of okay, what is this worth to me? How much money is it going to cost me? How much effort, time, everything else? And then make your decision, and then, as the old saying goes, plan your work, and then work your plan.
All righty. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. I just had another call on my cell phone. They just won't leave me alone. I've had two calls during this call here tonight.
No, you don't want them to leave you alone, do you?
No, it's pretty interesting. Okay, let's go to 623. You have been unmuted.
It must be me.
623, you've been unmuted. Go ahead.
Is that me?
We're hearing you. Go ahead. Yep.
Oh, okay. Yes, I've been trying to help a friend of mine who's I forgot the word now. He is learning challenged. He has a hard. He's having the problem I'm having right now communicating an idea. But what happened was we're trying to do some of this proof of claims stuff, and he got sued by a company that didn't make any effort to collect the debt. They just bought it and sued on it. My first question would be, in that particular instance, do they do that, or do they have to make an attempt to collect it before they sue?
Jesse?
I don't get the question.
Okay. Do they have to make an attempt to collect from you and not be successful before they can file a lawsuit against you, or can they just come out of the clear blue and just file a lawsuit?
On what? Credit card? Is that what it is?
Yeah, they bought a debt. They bought a credit card debt.
So it's a debt collector?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
did
sorry,
they try to call you? Yeah.
No.
Did they call you?
No.
Did they mail you anything?
No.
Well, you know, personally, I would just go after them in federal court and be done with it. But they don't have to warn you.
I mean, there has to be some kind of notification of an assignment. What state do you live in?
Arizona.
Arizona. You need to check your laws in Arizona. On the, you need to check the laws in Arizona on what the requirements are for notification of debt assignment. Like in Florida, unless you notify me within 30 days of filing that suit that thing was, before filing the suit, that it was transferred, assigned, otherwise sold, you can't go after me because you have to give me notice. And I don't know what the state law is over there, so, you know, every place is a little different. But in Florida, I can get rid of anything in a heartbeat. If it was transferred like you, you know, it just pops up out of the blue and they sue you, it's an easy motion to dismiss. Done.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Most states aren't like that, though, unfortunately, Jesse. In fact, I don't know of another one outside of Florida that has that law.
Yeah, yeah. But you need to check, you know, Arizona.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, double check.
Yeah, that's pretty hard to do, to find the statutes that pertain to the certain areas. Like right now, I'm trying to find out the statute of limitations. And the thing the problem I have is
right on our website, so you shouldn't have any trouble finding that at all.
Well, I hate to say this, but I'm not a paid member yet because
tight on funds. It's no big deal. I mean, it is what it is, pal. You know.
And I put my money with somebody else that didn't deliver. I was making a decision between you and them. Unfortunately, I went with the wrong people.
Well, good for you. Now you learned. never learned.
And do you now, if the statute of limitations has changed, the statute of limitations would be in effect of the time of the default of the loan, right?
Depends on the state.
Depends on the
state. Some states say it's the date of the last payment. Some states say it's the date of acceleration of the payment. You know.
Well, on a credit card, it's going to be the date of default, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it could be acceleration, too, Dave. Credit card and anything else is no different. They can say, hey, listen, we're accelerating and demand we the $5,000 you on the credit card. There's nothing stopping them from doing that.
Close okay, we did.
You owe me $3,000. You know what I mean? Done.
Now, I've been trying to figure out our violations of the various federal laws seem to be narrowed down to one, and I want to understand if I've got this correctly. So we filed the proof of claim, and they and now we
what
we
is
filed
a proof
this.
Of claim?
Well, it's a form letter where we went in and asked them to provide information on the debt to prove that the debt exists. And actually,
okay.
Part
I'm
of
not the, familiar with that. Are you, Dave? I'm not.
That's part of the administrative stuff that doesn't work.
Yeah, obviously, yeah. It doesn't.
Yeah,
work.
Unfortunately. You filed that. Did this individual get sued, or they filed suit against him, and you filed that into the case? And what happened when you did that?
What we did was is they got sued, and so in the middle of that. We filed the proof of claim. There's something in what you said that if you do something, they cannot continue to collect on the debt until that something is done.
Well,
I
that's under the
like,
under the FDCPA, but that you
yeah.
don't. You have to take that action in a little bit different way. That there's a time element involved with that. You have to do it within 30 days of the first collection attempt by them, which in that case evidently was the lawsuit.
And the lawsuit cannot be the notification, according to the federal statute.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the lawsuit itself can't be the notification. So at the end of the day, what happened is when you do a notice of dispute, they have to cease all collection activity. Any collection activity until it's validated is a violation of the FDCPA. And I'd venture to guess state law also. That's my guess.
Yeah, see the stuff. Yeah, when you get into this proof of claim stuff and all those things, that's over on the administrative process side, and that's the stuff that the court doesn't pay much attention to, very honestly. They don't have to because it's outside of public policy. Where are you in the scheme of things? When did all this start? Was it very recent?
It started last year, and I got in on it late on it because my friend was hesitant to ask me
for help. Roughly, how long has it been going? 6 months? A year?
It's been going, I would say, roughly about 6 to 9 months.
Okay, 6 to 9 months. So where does it stand right now? What is going on currently in that case?
Well, right now, at the end of last year, they failed to show and they got dismissed, but then they immediately filed a reinstatement of the case, and we disagreed. We filed motions back, and they just totally ignored them. They basically perjured, I think, in my estimation, they perjured themselves on the record. And then, so I've been battling back and forth with them because I can't speak for him. All I can do is write the stuff for him. He can't
right.
do any of that.
And if
this thing goes to trial, if it goes to a jury trial, then he's going to have to throw himself on the mercy of the jury because I can't talk for him unless I get some kind of permission from the Arizona Supreme Court. And so,
which you won't get.
Basically, which
well, he can, Dave. If he's handicapped and he can talk for him, why couldn't he?
There's a policy of next. There's a policy of next friend.
Next best friend. That's right.
Yeah.
But you're even stronger than that because he's handicapped and he can't talk.
Well, that's is it a recognized handicap?
That I don't know. But
what do you mean you don't know?
You can recognize it, but you mean... Okay,
no.
Well,
what Dave means is, does he have a handicap status?
Let me ask you, what do you mean by recognized? Do you mean diagnosed?
Does he have a handicap status?
A medically diagnosed handicap.
Yeah, like my mother has a handicap, so she has a handicap sticker, she's got a handicap driver's license, she's got, you know, she's recognized. It's a handicap that's recognized.
Yeah, my daughter has Down syndrome. That's a recognized handicap.
Well, it never occurred to me to ask him. He told me he has a learning disability, and him over because when I talk to him, I have to ask him something four or five times to get things straightened out.
To get the answer.
And get him
understand. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, because of that obvious proof to me, that was proof to me. It didn't occur to me to ask if it's been diagnosed, and I'll have to do that. But where it's at now is to finish up that the answer to your question is that and by the way, I want to thank you for the I believe I got it from your site, but it was the motion to object to tele appearance. Is that one of your documents?
Telephonic conference.
Yes. No. Telephonic appearance. It said.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, and it had specifically about the witness. I didn't think that was right, but I didn't want to know what to do. I didn't know what to do with it, and I stumbled on that document, and I filed it in the court. Don't know what's going to go on. I haven't had an answer on that, but got that filed in about 10 days ago.
Yeah.
But
the problem you're going to have, is, like you say, is if he's got to show up in court, he is not going to be able to function in court.
Yeah.
Try to find a pro bono attorney or something that would help him because of his handicap, or you can come in as an ex-best friend and help him with his handicap. But you got to make that known to the court. That's all. One or the other.
Yeah. I did that, and they rejected it. So I'm going to go to the. I'm actually going to go to the Supreme Court, and if they refuse me, I'm going to bring a Title 42 action against the Arizona Supreme Court.
Well, that's not going to solve his problem right now.
No,
it won't.
Yeah.
But anyway, So let me finish up answering your question. Was that where it stands at now is we, because his daughter is a paralegal that's been brainwashed by the establishment. She helped him fill out his answer, and his answer almost at 99.9% said yes, you're right. They only left one hook. They left one slight hook that helped me wiggle around on it. So I filed for a motion to amend the answer because I had to get leave of the court because it was outside the rules, and they granted me leave to file the motion, and so I'm waiting on that. But in the meantime, there's a court date set for the middle of June, and so that's basically what we're waiting on. I'm waiting on the court to rule on the amended answer. Plus, they've filed for a summary judgment, and I haven't answered that. I've asked for the court to say, "Oh, tell me whether I need to answer that or not." And I don't think I should because when I rewrote the amended answer, there was so much that was. I mean, they don't even have the right original creditor. The original creditor was Washington Mutual, and they're claiming it's Capital One or Bank One or something like that. And so the original creditor is not even correct.
Well, there's obviously lots of problems. Did you hear me earlier when I gave the information about NACA, NACA.net?
That does not sound familiar. I had a problem getting on the call. It took me half an hour to get on the call.
Okay, all right. Well, write that down, NACA.net.
Okay.
That's National Association of Consumer Advocates.
Okay, .net?
.net, correct. Get a hold of them. NACA. Nancy Alpha, Charlie Alpha. Get a hold of them and tell them about the situation you're dealing with and see if they've got somebody that can help. Because they are attorneys. It sounds to me like your friend, I mean, you've been able to do some things. His own daughter sounds like just about sold him down the creek. And, you know, you have limited knowledge. I mean, you've been working on some things, but he obviously cannot function in the court like that. And if he can find somebody that can come in and help him like that, deal with that, if there's that kind of blatant errors and things, that I think his is a perfect case where NACA needs to step in.
Mm-hmm. The amount of money isn't very much. It's only like $1,300, but we're using this because it's going on now because we're going to go back and go after another junk collector or junk debt collector that actually has perjured himself on the. They all perjure themselves. I don't get it.
That's standard procedure.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So, I
would suggest you get a hold of NACA in the morning and bring them up to speed, see if they've got somebody who would help him, and let them know that your friend is severely learning disabled, and, you know, you've tried to help, but he needs somebody because you definitely have a lot of issues in the case. And see if you can get some help there. That would be my best suggestion, personally.
What is your best defense against somebody who buys a debt at a discount and then tries to collect it?
Well, there isn't just one defense. You have to analyze. Mm-hmm. You have to look at everything that they're doing, and you have to find where all the holes are, and there's always lots of them. And then you need to understand what the law says and how to use the courts and go after them. It's not just one single thing that answers the question. It's a variety of more understanding the process and how to shoot down their evidence. And the other thing that we do is we are very much advocates of the best defense is a good offense. You sue their butt in federal court.
Oh, that was my other question.
Yes.
You would, so you got to go to federal court, which is not cheap.
You can actually, if you don't have the money, you can file informa pauperis, and you don't have to pay the filing fee. The filing fee in Fed court is $400. When I started myself, I did informa pauperis in my first suits. I pay for all of them since, and I've filed over 20 of them in 3 years.
Well,
doesn't cost you a penny.
No, they always pay me back for it. they pay me in the settlements.
Are you familiar with the term, and I'm going to probably massacre this pronunciation, but volente non fit injuria?
No.
Which is also known as assumption of risk?
No. We don't get into that.
Don't get into that?
No. Nope.
And what about Latin?
It's all of that kind of stuff. You start getting into all that Latin and all that crap, the judges don't want to hear it. You're bucking. You're trying to swim upstream on a 50-mile-an-hour river when you're using that kind of stuff. Very honestly, you're
in trouble.
Would latches fall into that same category?
No, we really don't deal much with that either.
Yeah, but latches completely different in subject. So
exactly.
You know?
But, yeah, you're talking a lot of stuff that's out of the realm of just plain good old litigating in the court. We go in and we use the court and we use the statutes that they've got and we're successful. But you have to learn the stuff. It takes some time. It takes effort. But for your friend, what he's dealing with, I would very strongly suggest you see if you can get somebody from NAC or if they won't take it, see if you can find a local pro bono attorney. Call around and ask and tell them, look, this poor friend of mine is really getting screwed here. He's got a learning disability. Do you do any pro bono work? He needs the help.
Okay, I sure appreciate that. This may be worth the call right there. I have the last thing I would like to say is could I call you guys? I have one question, take about 5 minutes. It's about more of financial end of things. Could I call you guys?
We really don't do individual phone calls.
Yeah, we don't take one-on-one.
We're just up to our eyeballs now. I personally have 9 lawsuits going right now.
Wow.
So
Dave
just doesn't have anything to do. So
yeah. And then I go wrestle with my car
trouble.
Once in a while too.
I'm having trouble with 3 or 4.
Yeah.
Okay, gentlemen. Yeah. I think that'll do it. Thank you very much, and I sure appreciate your time and effort.
You're very welcome.
Yep.
Good luck on getting some help for your friend there.
Okay, what do I do to get off this call?
To get off the call, all you got to do is hang up.
No, not get off the call, get out of the queue.
Yeah, you're fine. All you got to do, I'm going to mute you. All righty,
okay,
thanks very much.
Bye. Bye-bye.
All right, we're going to go to 201.
Hi, this is Jason. How you doing?
Doing good, Jason. How are you?
Good. I'm just my friend Phil. I want to send me in here. It's very interesting about our courts, and it's interesting that everything that they're doing to us is totally illegal, and you can watch them flaunt their stupidity.
We do that regularly.
Yeah, they do it regularly.
Almost daily. Yeah.
And if it wasn't for their foolishness, they wouldn't know how fool they weren't.
Exactly.
Yep. Well, what's your question for us tonight?
No, I'm going to start getting involved with you guys, and we appreciate what you've been doing for all these years for us sovereign people who know. Excuse me, and my dogs. Anyway, I'll be part of you pretty soon. I'll have better questions as I get more climatized to the subject. I'm looking forward to getting lots of money for helping people out and myself.
Good. Oh, good.
What you're supposed to do.
Yeah, right. That's a service of being a man. People like to read and they're always looking for salvation, understand their religion. There's a book called The Gospel of the Red Man, which was written in 1936 by the Satan, the father of the Boy Scouts of America, who was a noted author. And this book really, for like 80-something pages, it really puts down how the Native American and Indians are, spirit are, and how we need to go into the spirit of the Native American Indians, because we wouldn't have this problem, because everything that we have has been stolen. How can we actually have property if we're living on property that's been stolen? That's the question.
That's right.
Yeah.
It gets even worse than that, but that's not for tonight's topic.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
No, I'm just,
that's not what you get in here.
I'm just saying that's my agenda, my thoughts of property. I'm not against anyone having property. The thing is that if you have a clear title to the land, which no one really has, there is no real ownership of the property.
Yep.
And
well, like we said, tonight is Q&A. So what we're doing is trying to answer as many questions as we can for people.
All right. So thank you very much. I appreciate it. And I give me the opportunity to speak. You are a fantastic group of guys. Keep up the good work, and I'll be working on your team. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate your comments. And welcome aboard.
Thank you so much, sir. God bless.
All right. Let's go to... Boy, my neck of the woods, 214. That's right here in the Dallas area. Hello, 214.
Yes, thank you for taking my call.
We can't hardly hear you. You're extremely faint.
Oh, sorry. Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes, that's much better. Thank you.
Okay, yeah, thank you for taking my call, I said. And I'm a newbie on this group. And actually, I started taking some action in regard to one of my mortgages. As is suggested on the website, to start preliminary with sending a QWR, and I send that to the lender that is on my mortgage documents. Of course, the lender, I think, is out of business. I'm not really sure if I'm going to receive any reply on that. And my next step was to send the same to the servicer, which is Green Tree. Green Tree has responded and has sent me the whole deed of documents. And initially, I researched this on the public records, and I have a copy of the deed, but I was not able to find the note on the public records.
You're not going to. That's not recorded.
Okay. So they sent me the note. They sent me a bunch of papers, the deed, which I already have a copy, and the note. The note does not have any assignments.
Correct. Allonges, you mean, allonges.
I'm sorry?
The allonges, not assignments.
Oh, okay, sure.
You understand the difference? You need to know the difference, right?
No, not really. What's the difference?
Okay, the note doesn't have an assignment. The note has allonges.
What is that?
Assignments you would find in the public record, or they would have sent you copies of assignments. They're not part of the note. They're just assignments. Anything that's stamped on the note or attached, affixed to the note would be an allonge, which would say something like pay to the order of, and then it, whatever, without recourse, and then it's signed. That's an allonge, and that's what would be on your note.
No, it does. It is not in my note. So I
received
the note on that one. So is an assignment or a launch the same as a endorsement?
Yes, correct. There you go.
So there is not an endorsement on the note. So
correct.
My question is, since I received this, okay, the Green Tree comply with the conditions precedence with one exception. The exception, back in March of 2003, they sent me that letter when the lender was Bank of America. If I recall, initially I was paying to Countrywide, and then I think I didn't receive any notice of transfer from Countrywide to Bank of America. And then from Bank of America, they transferred to Green Tree. Green Tree sent me a letter back in 2013, which stated who they were, their telephone number, and actually the date of the transfer. And I'm not really sure about the I'm not really sure about the if they stated on that letter who is the party in charge who I can contact. Right. And also on that letter, they do not mention also if, I think I got it here. Hold on 1 second.
Okay.
They don't, hello?
I said
yep,
it's
we're
okay.
Here. Go ahead.
Relax.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just take it easy. We're fine.
Right. I'm trying to find my notes here. I'm sorry. They don't mention anything about. I went blank here. I'm sorry. Well, one of the condition precedents is not met. So there are four steps that are met, but one is not met. So my question
then it's not met at all.
Okay,
period.
So that's my question. Now,
if you don't meet one, you don't meet any.
Correct. So my next question is, what, in your opinion, what will be the next step to do here?
I don't know all the details. So you can never ask what's the next step. Everybody has different situations. So it's impossible for you to have told me every single detail. Impossible.
Right. I'm not in foreclosure. My position is that I was trying to do some exit out, but I'm still current on my mortgage.
You're still current?
Yes, I'm paying it still. So
okay.
I'm not in foreclosure. I haven't received any notice of default or anything like that. I'm just trying to prepare myself. And see.
So then what's the conditions precedent that they missed, if that's the case? See, now you lost me.
Sure. Let me hold on 1 second.
Do you guys get where I'm going, Dave? He kind of lost me.
Yeah. Yeah.
The location.
Well, they haven't started foreclosure proceedings or anything
because
you're not behind. So the conditions precedent are not even an issue at this point.
Right. Yeah.
They only become an issue come time that they would foreclose or attempt to foreclose.
Right.
Right. So my question is, should I stop paying so they can send me a notice of default and start from there?
I can't advise you to stop paying a mortgage. That's a very personal decision that you're going to make. Nobody, nobody,
and
should
it's
be
very
advising
personal,
you.
Exactly, because there is a lot of in play, right? I mean, but in your opinion, I mean, what would be, if this was a case scenario, how you guys will look at this case?
Well, I stopped paying my mortgage 6 years ago. That's enough said about that. So, you know, it is what it is.
So, because what you guys advertise on the website is, if you're looking to do an exit out, this is the steps that one has to take, right? So, but I want to make sure that I'm going in the right direction.
Well, my
you're going in the right direction.
Very simple. Yeah, my simplest suggestion is, if you are considering doing a strategic default, which is what you're talking about,
right?
And you're able to pay your payments now, I would make sure if I were in your position, I would make sure I was extremely well-educated and well-versed on dealing with the situation going forward before I ever put myself in it. And if I felt that I was fully informed and understood the whole entire process of what could potentially happen going forward, and I wanted to do it, well, then you make that decision at that point in time. But you sure don't want to do it and then find yourself like, oh, well, I guess I should have studied more.
Yeah. Yeah, and at the end of the day, you should be disputing. If you don't feel that they have the right to collect and there wasn't proper assignment, something's missing, you need to dispute that with the credit reporting agencies also. So you have that on the record. And what one attorney did in Tennessee is he went ahead and sued. And he says, okay, in good faith, I'm going to start putting the monthly payments into the court registry for 6 months. If they can't prove to me that they have the right to collect, I'm going to ask this court to default them, right, rule against them, and be done with it. And he did it, and he won. They could never prove that they had the right to collect. They tried like hell for 6 months. And they better not report anything negative on his credit report, because if they did, obviously, he's putting it in good faith. And by court order, it said, hey, listen, you couldn't prove it. So, you know, that's another route you can do that you need to look into. Absolutely.
The question here is, what will make a services the right to collect?
If I'm the owner of the note, I can let Dave or John or you collect. What does it matter? I give them the right to collect. You don't give them the right to collect. I give them the right to collect.
Okay.
The problem is they have to prove they have that right. And you say, you already said it from the beginning, there's assignments missing.
That's correct.
So that's, you know, I don't know all the details, don't want to know all the details. But no, you don't give them the right to collect. The owner does.
I would say that you're interested in potentially going down that road. You still have a lot of study and understanding that it would probably be very much in your best interest to do before you would consider taking an action yet.
There's absolutely no hurry anyway. Because if you can make your mortgage payments, make sure that you set it up right and you set it up correctly.
Uh-huh.
Okay. All right. Well, I will continue studying. I'm almost done with the foreclosure batch, but I think I need
Here's what I need you to do. Listen to me carefully, and this will give you a lot of insight. Sometime after you get done with that foreclosure batch, go to the dealing with your servicer section.
Okay.
Webinar. Go to the webinar archives, and it's dealing with your servicer. Go watch that.
Okay.
Okay, when you're all done with foreclosure batch, you go watch that, and that'll give you some insight into how I personally, next week I have a trial. No, not next week, the week after, the 22nd, on this particular deal. And I discuss that particular case that I'm going to trial on 4 years later. I'm going to trial on in that particular webinar. And you'll see how I set them up. Yeah, you'll see how I set them up.
Okay.
All righty. That take care of you?
Yeah, I think I need to make my mind in relation to that if I want to go through the pains of this or...
Yeah.
It's a serious decision, you know. And at the end of the day, it's a business decision. Just keep that in mind.
All right.
All it is, straight-up business. It's nothing more.
Okay. Thank you very much, guys.
All right.
You're very
night.
Welcome. Okay. I'm going to try and sneak one more in here real quick.
Yeah, that's okay.
We're almost the top of the hour. 858, we're going to get you in, but you got to be quick and short, sweet, and to the point. 858.
Hello.
You've been unmuted. Go ahead. We need to get in as quickly as you can here.
My question is pretty simple. I just wanted to find out if there is any new case law on permissible purpose that you're aware of in my district, which is the Ninth Circuit.
I'm not aware of any right now.
No, I'm not either.
No, we haven't seen any real case law come out on that recently that I'm aware of anywhere.
Me neither. Yeah.
If I go to appeals and win, then I'll be the first one?
You might. Oh, you said for new case law, but I'm sure there's plenty of other case law there, but I'm not sure about new case law.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean that's how case law is established. Somebody's got to step up.
You got it.
And take it to the circuit court and win. Absolutely.
Okay. Then I just want to mention one other case that I had, a TCPA case, and the judge ruled against me using FDCPA case law on TCPA case.
Should be pretty easy to appeal.
Brain-dead judge.
That's okay, yeah. Can't be no worse than my wife's judge, trust me.
Yeah.
All right, Dave, let's wrap it up. 10 right. Straight up.
Yep. All righty, we got to wrap it up for tonight, everybody. I'd like to thank everybody for joining us tonight. Now, we do have a schedule. Tomorrow at 3 o'clock Eastern, we have the Wednesday afternoon webinar, and I just happen to be the one that is doing that webinar tomorrow. It is part 3 of Conducting Yourself in Court, and that's a series that we're doing on Wednesday night. Terry's call starts at 8 o'clock Eastern Time. If you are not on her email list, you need to get on it immediately tonight. Send an email to queensongbird@gmail.com. Just say, I'd like to be on the list, and she will send the reminders out to you and let you know. She also sends documents and stuff out. So that's the way things are done on Wednesday night. Then, of course, Monday is Dallas Debt Discussion, a call I've done for almost 5 years. That's on TalkShoe.com. That starts at 9 o'clock Eastern Time, and the PIN number for that is 54318. And again, it starts at 9 p.m. Eastern. That's a support call, like Terry's is a support call. This is a support call for what is in the website. These are not a substitute for being a member of the website. We talk about what's there. That's where all the pieces of the puzzle are put together. So don't think that you can just listen to these calls and get what you need, because that's just plain not the case. You really need to become a member. There's no risk to it. You got a 60-day money-back guarantee. Get in there and check it out. It's well worth it. We've got many people, the good news that was on earlier tonight, people, one guy's got 18,000 so far since the first of the year. And somebody else went over 100,000. So it's not like it can't be done by a whole lot of people, because it is. You know, I'm not the only one that collects, nor is Jesse or Larry or John or Terry or Jeff. So the bottom line is there's lots of support. And for those of you, as a reminder, that are members, use the forum, please. That's the reason it's there, so that you can ask questions, get answers. And there is a tremendous number of questions, literally thousands of postings in there that everybody can learn from. So utilize that, please. That builds a library for the people coming along behind you. And with that said, I think we're done. Jesse, you got any parting words?
Yes, sir. No, I'm good to go. God bless everybody. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Have a great night. Spread the word and keep up the fight, guys.
See you then.
Have a great evening, everybody.